What if kittens played the glockenspiel? And what if unicorns were real? What if you could fly or travel back in time? We welcome you to What If World. What if world? This is What If World.
Hey there, folks, and welcome back to What If World, the show where your questions and ideas inspire off-the-cuff stories. I'm Mr. Eric, your host. And today we're starting off with a question from a listener named Mia.
Hi, my name is Mia, and I like axolotls. My what if question is, what if Abacus the Grumbler got really good at magic and JF Cat lost all his memory?
Oh, Mia, thank you so much. And there have been other kids throughout the ages who have wondered what would happen if Abacus finally learned how to cast spells correctly. So thank you to everyone who has shared a similar idea. Now, of course, I am coming to you today from the Clown Museum that exists inside Kathunkel's stomach.
They might not understand the context, Mr. Eric.
Oh, right. Well, Kathunkel turned into a robot last week, and so did, I think, everyone in What If World? That's because our patron Colin asked what if everybody turned into a robot and Mr. Eric got eaten by a robot and he had to go into the robot world to save everyone.
Yeah, so it's about time you do that.
You know, you already sound a little less robot-y than last week, Kathunkel. Maybe everything's okay and I don't have to get trapped in What If World this time?
No. We just all got an upgrade to our robo-voices, so we could speak more naturally.
So you're not gonna spit me up back in What Is World?
I have learned not to eat people, Mr. Eric, unless I am programmed to do so by a what-if question.
Okay, but my free will still matters in this situation, right?
Well, sure. Do you want to go back to What Is World and doom our entire existence to robotiness forever? Or do you want to do the right thing?
Not really much of a choice, Kathunkel, but okay. Let's do the right thing.
But before you do, you must give a shout-out to Rowan, age 13.
Oh, right. Thank you, Rowan. I know you've been listening for a long time, and that your favorite character is Hagoda. The snow came on from episode 145.
With me as a close second.
Hagoda!
Okay, Hagoda is saying that they would love to give you a big hug. Oh, and they're going on to explain that you love the G&G episodes and anything about Pokemon, and also gaming, animals, and stories of all kinds.
Now I'm afraid it's time for me to spit you out from the creepy comfort of my clown museum into the wide robot what-if world.
Okay, Kathunkel, I'm as ready as I'll ever be. So let's find out what if Abacus P. Grumbler got really good at magic, and JF Cat lost all his memory, plus what if everybody turned into a robot and Mr. Eric got eaten by a robot and he had to go into the robot world to save everyone.
Good luck.
Kathunkel spat me out in a field, overlooking New What City at dawn. From here, the city looked as beautiful as ever. Tall buildings, ringed by greenery, with every sunny surface holding a solar panel or another plant. I could see distant people flying to and fro on their Stevie the Fleasel wing machines, or using their own robo-wings. Plus, large hover buses could be seen crisscrossing the air and streets, looking like little floating caterpillars. My first thought was, this robo world doesn't look so bad.
Maybe not from here, Mr. Eric, but just try to get closer.
Oh, you're still here.
Well, I know how easy it is for you to get eaten, so I figured I'd stick around for a bit.
Thanks, buddy.
Buddy? Let's not get too familiar, Mr. Eric.
I mean, I've only known you for 8 years.
Then I shall allow you to call me Mr. Kathunkel.
That's a more formal name than just Kathunkel. Ow! Ah, my nose just bumped into something.
Exactly.
Rubbing my nose and my watery eyes, I looked ahead but couldn't see anything, except, was that
a smudge, somehow floating in the air? Now you know how birds feel.
No way. I reached ahead and touched an almost invisible force field, and I thought to myself,
Look, sorry, Mr. Eric, are you really going to be narrating this whole story in the first person?
Yeah, I thought it might be like an interesting change of pace.
But when you're saying what you're thinking out loud, and I'm standing here right next to you, I cannot help but think that your brain is slowly breaking.
My brain feels pretty okay right now.
Why don't you let me do the narrating, since I can read your mind as it is?
Wait, you can?
I'll only do it with your permission. Or when you're thinking about carrots.
Why carrots?
Carrots are like little telepathic darts that shoot from your brain to the next. Don't you know anything about being psychic?
That is the first thing I have ever learned about being psychic, sorry.
Said Mr. Eric. Apologizing unnecessarily.
It's just you seem kind of offended.
He said, because one of his worst fears is making anyone feel uncomfortable ever.
I wouldn't say it's my worst fear.
Lied, Mr. Eric.
You know what? I'm just gonna carry on with the story and try to figure this out, and you keep doing you, Kathunkel. I'm totally comfortable with this.
Lied Mr. Eric again.
So I can't get into New Watt City. Where else could I go?
And just then, Howie House, the Jamaloo family's rocket ship house, floated down to rest softly on the grass, right outside the New Watt City bubble. And emerging from the door was a great horror of writhing claws, tentacles, talons, wings, fur.
It's just Mamma Jamma, Kathunkel.
Oh, you're no fun.
Thank goodness I found you two,
said Robot Mamma Jamma, her metal eyebrows scrunched in concern.
What's going on, Mamma Jamma? Why is New Watt City in some kind of bubble?
That's one of their magical upgrades. Everyone just keeps getting them.
I thought those were just supposed to fix bugs and improve features.
Well, when a mega-powerful wizard sees all of life's imperfections as bugs, this is what you get.
Mega-powerful wizard? There's no one like that in what if...
Greetings, inferior robots! It is I, Robo-Abby, your cheerful overlord.
A voice rang out from every direction at once, as if its magic permeated the very fabric of the world.
Our next upgrade will get rid of those pesky things called feelings, allowing you to live a life of unburdened efficiency. I hope you do not enjoy it, because that would mean the upgrade didn't work. Robover and out.
Wow, I knew Abacus was supposed to get really good at magic in this story, but I didn't realize
that unimaginable power sometimes goes to people's heads. Said me, because Mr. Eric should have really figured that out after telling so many of my stories.
Okay, yep, you're right, Kathunkel, so let's focus on what we should do before everyone loses their emotions forever.
Everyone except me, which would make me so sad,
said Mamma Jamma. And upon closer inspection, she did not seem to have all of the many robo-upgrades that Abacus had been automatically giving us over the past week.
Yeah, I don't have my solar panels yet. That was actually a good one, because before that we were just eating little robots to run in the wheels inside our bodies, and then those robots had to eat even smaller robots to run inside their wheels. And anyway, now I'm almost out of power.
So he was giving, like, helpful upgrades at first, but then what changed?
Why don't you come on in the house? Just take off your shoes.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And could you please wipe your tentacles and your suction cup arms and anything else that might touch the floor?
That's pretty much all of me. You're going to need a bigger welcome mat.
Oh, forget it. By the end of the day, no one's gonna care anyway.
The inside of Howie House was indeed clean. Stark white walls contrasting with pitch black ceilings. And all of the furniture had lost its soft, lived-in corners, becoming white cubes topped with black.
Poor Howie was the first to get upgraded.
I am running at peak efficiency. Please wipe your tentacles.
Just get me a little wagon that you can wheel me about in, I'll become little for that.
Wait, you can become little whenever you want?
It's a new power I've learned since I stopped having an unbearably huge image of my own importance all the time.
Well, congratulations. I'll pull your wagon for you.
Wagon assembled,
said Howie House, and a black painted little wagon with tiny white wheels was 3D printed in the middle of the floor.
So what were you gonna show us, Mama Jamma?
Oh, yeah, sorry, I was just waiting for Kathunkle to finish narrating.
Yeah, he thinks that it'll be less confusing if he narrates but is still in the story for some reason.
Snarked Mr. Eric, as my body suddenly quadrupled in density, making me very heavy to wheel around.
Excuse me, Kathunkle. You're doing a great job. I know narrating can be tough.
It's not tough, just do the story.
Well, here's the rest of the family.
Mama Jamma brought us to the living room.
It is now called the operations room.
Thanks, Howie. And there sat Robo-Papaloo.
That's Robaloo to you,
said Robaloo in a jaunty voice, without ever looking up from a crystal ball held in his hands. Then, of course, there was ZZBot.
I've decided that ZZ is an inefficient name. You can simply call me Z,
said Z, without ever looking up from her crystal ball.
Now you're going to introduce me and say how I am also not looking up from my ball,
chimed in Zack, uninvited.
Now you know how I feel, Kathunkle.
And I was tempted to use my mighty Kathunkle magic to quiet them all down for a minute. But I used my deep breath instead, and finally realized how wrong this picture felt.
See, Abacus said he wanted to help fix all of What If World's problems. And so he sent us each a crystal ball. And as soon as you activated it, you got solar panels and a slightly less robot-y voice. But then he realized that the environment was in trouble, and these crystal balls made it so that we were all stuck in these little bubbles.
Trouble bubbles to give the world time to heal.
And I thought, maybe this'll be okay for a little while.
But then we were all feeling really lonely,
said Robo-Loo.
So Robo-Abby connected all our crystal balls so we can all see each other and talk to each other and be more connected than ever forever.
Yeah, so here we are.
And you weren't corrupted by the crystal balls because...
Because I couldn't figure out how to turn it on and my kids wouldn't show me. And Papa Lou hasn't stopped binge-watching Saturday morning cartoons this whole time.
Robo-Abby also put every movie, book, and song ever made on these things.
They're awesome.
Well, Mama Jamma, I'm glad you share my magical and technological ineptitude.
Sometimes not knowing gives you a fresh perspective.
Sure, but you just needed to swipe up on the crystal ball once and...
Now every time I do that, all these other little images pop up and some of them are lit up and some of them aren't.
No, you're not supposed to swipe up from the bottom of the crystal ball, but the middle.
Where's the middle of a sphere?
Well, it depends on where you hold it.
But it shouldn't.
Okay, you two. Let's stop fighting over the crystal balls and how easy or not easy they may be to use.
Just even the robo-babies figured theirs out.
Hey!
We all know there's only one person with the know-how and the motivation to get rid of all these crystal balls.
We spent the rest of the day flying around in Howie House, searching high and low across What If World, and having many adventurous and death-defying and exciting moments that I don't have time to narrate to you right now.
Can you give us an example, Kathunkle?
Okay, so there was like a space worm, except it wasn't in space. It came down and it tried to eat the house, so I had to turn giant and wrap it up with my arms and tentacles.
Oh, cool. Then what happened?
Well, then it got a crystal ball that it figured out how to use right away, and it got immediately upgraded into a robo-space worm, bent on world domination. But it also got too heavy and fell to the ground, plummeting. But I saved us all with my massive tentacles, flying us away at the last moment. The end.
Kind of fun narrating, right?
Yes. I must have more.
Okay, let's maybe focus on the task at hand,
said Mr. Eric, trying to distract me from the allure of absolute power.
Yes, because we finally reached our destination, right? Found who we were looking for.
Right, yes. Howie the House landed outside of the observatorium, where we saw a familiar figure lounging on the windowsill. Black, white, and fluffy, at least by robot standards. It was JF Cat.
That's JF Cat drawn to you, strange tentacled robot.
Jojo, you don't recognize Kathunkle?
Obviously not. Remember Meow I lost my memory?
Oh, yeah, the what-if question. But how do you remember losing your memory?
Wally, I don't.
But...
what do you want already? I'm programmed here to sit in the sun until I get way too hot, and then hide under a chair and swat at people's feet.
But that's not like you, JF Catron.
It's exactly like Meow. Now.
And JF Catron got a distant look in his whirring metallic eyes.
Ooh, nice description.
Don't interrupt the moment.
Sorry.
JF Cat, I intoned in my warming yet maleficent voice. We must call upon you to break the crystal balls, ensorcelling all of what-if world.
Pass.
Only 20 minutes left until all emotion is erased forever. I'm so excited for the next 20 minutes anyway.
Said Robo Abby, his voice sounding from everywhere again.
Kathunkle, we can't break all the crystal balls in 20 minutes.
Especially not if JF Cat doesn't have his memory.
Meow, I need you all to stop talking. It makes my programming hurt.
Well, we will stop talking, Jojo, if you just come on over here outside of the observatorium's bubble and hop into Howie House with us.
The Robo Cat considered for a moment.
Do you have a windowsill that faces the sun?
Well, it's a flying house, so it can actually always turn to face the sun.
Okay, deal. Just make sure you've got a lot of chairs that I can hide under and swat at your feet from.
I can build all the chairs you require, and even give them kitty invisibility fields,
said Howie House.
Yeah, I don't think this cat needs extra ways to swat at us from hiding.
Too late, it's part of the deal, let's go!
And so, JF Catron sauntered out of Robo Abby's magical bubble and onto our rocket ship house, with only 20 minutes left to save the world.
More like 19, you've been narrating kinda slow.
I'm adding gravitas!
Oh, I think it's pronounced gravy.
It isn't!
The... end. For now.
Yay! I was supposed to say that.
People steal the end from me all the time, Kathunkle.
That's because you don't have enough arms to steal it back.
How can arms hold words?
It's a little thing called Dimension Wordy Grabby. Ever heard of it?
No, I've obviously never heard of Dimension...
the end! I did it.
There you have it, folks. I hope you enjoyed the first part of your story. Thank you, Mia and Colin, for your questions. We'll find a new What If question next week. Maybe it will be yours. And hopefully, with your help, we'll figure out a way out of this mess.
Next week, I thought there were only 20 minutes left.
Sure, of story time, but we're in podcast hosting time right now.
Do you have access to other dimensions of time, Mr. Eric?
I guess, kind of.
Cool. That's really cool.
Thank you.
We'd like to thank Karen O'Keefe, our co-creator, Miss Lynn, our producer, Craig Martinson for our theme song, Kathunkle for his fabulous guest hosting!
And all you kids at home who make space for your feelings.
Because what you resist persists. So keep breathing, keep feeling,
and keep wondering.
The International Children's Arts Network, ICAN, is made possible by the Herbert A. Templeton Foundation, the Oregon Cultural Trust, the Brookby Foundation, and the Oregon Community Foundation. ICAN, poetry, story time, and music for kids.